Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The funniest thing I saw in that, actually, is that he went to Villanova. And so that means that maybe Notre Dame did not let him in the university and that we did not let the future Pope into the university.
So that stings the most.
Not a good look. Not a good look. That's a possibility. It's a possibility you have to acknowledge.
Craig Council will be appearing all weekend in Queens. That's the Cubs manager on the new Pope Leo. Welcome into Inside the Clubhouse. Good Saturday morning, Chicago, right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Today, anticipating the big Major League debuts for Cade Horton and Tim Elko. And also paying homage, of course, to the Sox, having a fan in the highest of places. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, David. I'm just last night just looking on X and then seeing Pope Leo XIV in the stands with, I don't know if there was his brother or a friend and his kid, but it was such an electric moment. And I got the, X sent to me from 20 different people, and it was just, that thing, it had to get millions and millions of hits yesterday.
It's been an exciting 48 hours or so since the news broke that the new Pope from Chicago, the Pope, is also a Sox fan who attended the 2005 World Series. There's video evidence of that.
He was really nervous in the video. I mean, he was moving around. It was, obviously everyone was standing for the last out.
So you detected him being a little bit apprehensive about what would happen next?
He was
not
moving,
having the faith,
He was your typical Sox fan. This was the first World Series game since 1959 for the White Sox.
Right.
The anticipation of them winning after all these years and actually winning a World Series possibly for the first time since 1917. Just unbelievable stuff. And, the guy.
One could debate, Bruce, who had a bigger impact on the Sox dominating in the World Series, Ozzie Guillen or Pope Leo?
I think Eddie Farmer.
Oh, I think you're probably right. It has been fun. And I do think that what we have seen is everybody getting a kick out of making the Pope more relatable, because he's just been a guy, Southside Bob, as he has been referred to. Sometimes you wonder if you're crossing a line and being disrespectful to the Pontiff, but at the same time, I think it's been fun because it's been tasteful and it's been enthusiastic.
It's been tasteful, but it's so Chicago, because the pride of Chicago, and then is he a Northsider or a Southsider fan? And the difference in how the fans look at where their region of where they're from, who they root for compared to the other. It's, I don't know if you have this in any other city. Maybe in New York, back in the 50s and 60s, when you had the three teams, you know, the Yankees, Dodgers, and Giants, it's just such a Chicago section of where you're from pride thing.
It is. It definitely has been. You have a guy from the South Side who rises through the ranks, if you will, and just becomes the Pope, and he becomes somebody who seems as regular as the guy that you sat next to at Aurelio's last night.
He is.
Well, he was. Well,
he
exactly. That's yeah, he it. Was. Because then now you're putting him on a pedestal in every way. So that has been a lot of fun. And I think what it became, took on a life of its own, or took on a bigger life, let's say, Bruce, because the original report was ABC News saying he's a Cub fan. And the Cubs getting involved and welcoming him to the fandom. And then we find out later from WGN, they correct for the record, and the rest is Sox history.
I liken it to you coming from the South Bend Tribune to the Chicago Tribune, and then now at the Score. I
mean, bless you, Bruce. Bless you. That's the first time I've ever been compared to a Pope. Thank you.
I mean, the careers, you know, there's some degrees of comparison.
No, there really aren't. No, okay. There really aren't. I am not infallible, nor will I ever claim to be, but it has been a lot of fun, and it will continue to be. The Sox leaned into it last night. That was a really cool thing they put on the scoreboard at Wright Field. They had already a jersey sent to Vatican City for Pope Leo, and did you see the
city? Do you think Canerco had a sign off on it?
Did he have to? I don't know. Did they get Canerco's permission? That would be funny.
I would tell you, you know, that if I was a Catholic, which I'm not, and I was given one of those jerseys, I would wear it. I mean, you know, it'd be really cool.
You'd wear it proudly.
Yeah, I think Brooks Boyer has something to deal with here.
Well, not if Notre Dame didn't let the Pope in. That domer's got a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, that was just an assumption. I think
Craig Counsell put it out there.
He said he didn't know.
Craig Counsell put it out there. Now it must be explored. Did the current Pope apply to Notre Dame? What was his essay like? And who denied him? Who denied him admission to the University of Notre Dame, if in fact that is true, Craig Counsell?
You know, Craig went from a them to a we
exactly.
In the same sentence, you know?
Yeah.
If you listen to it closely, we didn't, let him in.
But I think when you see the City Connect jerseys last night, the red jerseys, they had one made up for Pope Leo. That was really ahead of the curve and a lot of pride. And let's face it, the Sox need something to be positive about, to have some fun with and create a little bit of enthusiasm. And Bruce, let's be honest too, they could use the Pope and some friends in high places more than the Cubs right now. Well
you know, the Cubs are slumping.
The Cubs are slumping. Three in a row. Yes, that brings us back to baseball. 7-2 losers to the Mets at Citi Field in New York last night. Not a good night for Jameson Taillon. Four home runs. Giving up the Sox, meanwhile, at home. 6-2 winners over the Florida Marlins.
So we're going to put this out there. Our phone lines are always open, 312-644-6767. And that is, are the Cubs overthinking this with Cade Horton and him being used as a relief pitcher tonight, sometime after Brad Keller starts that game against the Mets? What are your thoughts about it? David and I are going to share ours, but again, We're always interactive here, so we'd like to hear your thoughts.
That's exactly right. We want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. Big show ahead. We have Tony Cagoule, who is the Iowa Cubs pitching coach, who is going to give you the best version of a scouting report for Cade Horton that you're going to be able to hear anywhere, because he coached him for the first six starts of the season. We'll talk to Steve Stone at 10:30. I'm sure he has thoughts on a little bit of everything. Chin music. We have some chin music at 10 o'clock, top of the hour.
Maybe our best chin music of the year.
That's a good tease, Bruce. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And so we'll get to a lot of the things. But today is a big day because, yes, we can just celebrate Popedom. Because we can talk more Pope all show long. But, Bruce, Tim Elko will be promoted on the south side. The White Sox are bringing up the minor league first baseman from Charlotte to hit some more home runs here, ideally. But the big story in baseball and in Chicago, Cade Horton makes his major league debut tonight. And you're exactly right. Cubs and Mets right here on the score. I am surprised that they – I'm not surprised they're calling him up. We've been calling for it all week and been making the reasons and the logic why. I am surprised that Brad Keller is starting and Cade Horton will relieve him, ideally, likely. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't like it at all.
No, I'm you know, I'm with you. It's just – it's cutting the situation in half. I just – you know, the discussion I had with you and Mully all week on the show, and I was on – almost every day, I think 4 days this week, talking about this. And the thing that stands out the most to me is our conversation going to the part with, if he's ready to pitch in the major leagues, why look for the soft landing? And if he needs a soft landing, why is he pitching at all until next week when you have the Marlins and, with all due respect, the White Sox, who might be a lesser degree of competition for the Cubs and the Mets are at this point. So if you're looking for, well, we want to make it easier on him, then I think you're missing the entire point.
I think so, too. I think if he's ready, he's ready. And he also is a starting pitcher. And if you want to maximize what you're going to get out of a young player in his first big moment, I would think you'd want to make things as familiar as possible. And coming out of the bullpen, frankly, is unfamiliar to somebody who is a starting pitcher.
It's also scripting what the game is going to be all about, okay? So you have Brad Keller, a former starter, now a relief pitcher for the Cubs, opening the game, okay? The assumption is he'll throw two innings, right? You know?
Yeah, I would think so. Right?
So maybe Horton would start the bottom of the Mets order if he gets through that. The possibility is if the Mets hit him, he's still going to have to face the top of the order when he comes in, right?
He's still going to have to face Soto and Lindor and Alonso at some point in time. I think that the fact that they don't want that to be his first experience as a major leaguer, I'm sorry, I think it's kind of weak. I think because you heard yesterday, I think it was Ron Darling does Mets games for the Yes Network, SNY. SNY is the network. And I think he told Taylor McGregor, he was talking before the game, do you know who his first three major league hitters were that he faced? Joe Morgan, Pete Rose, Mike Schmidt, the 83 Phillies.
How did he do?
His career went pretty well.
It did.
I think no matter how he did, it doesn't matter. So you're going to have to jump in with both feet at some point anyway. I don't know why they're doing this. They're overthinking.
I agree.
It.
You know, again, we take our sports as seriously as anybody, and we're lucky enough to make a living doing this. But it's still, you know, go to work and do your job, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you ready? And my question to you, David, is this. Is this the biggest debut since Mark Pryor and before that, Kerry Wood, as a Cub young pitcher?
From a starting pitching standpoint, you could make that argument.
Because, I'm talking about a homegrown product.
Yeah, because the
now,
the
we're not Cubs, talking about John Lester.
Not talking about Lester.
Not talking about Arrieta coming in after a couple years and then being a dominant Cy Young Award winner. We're not talking about Carlos Zambrano at this point.
Cole Hamels or anybody with
a
bigger name recognition.
No. Homegrown. And Kerry Wood is the biggest name in the last 30 years, okay? And then there's Pryor, who was right there with him. Pryor might have even been a bigger one. And doing my research on this, David, neither one of them started the season with the team.
Mark Pryor did not, because his debut came in May.
And Woods came after one start at Iowa in 1998.
I did not realize that about Kerry Wood. I remember that about Mark Pryor. I would say, Bruce, that's a very good question, but and it says as much about the Cubs' inability to draft and develop their own pitchers as it does anything, because Cade Horton, 7th overall pick, 2022 draft, out of Oklahoma. Yes, I think that I would agree. This is probably the biggest moment the biggest pitching debut for a homegrown talent the Cubs have had since Mark Pryor.
And we have to watch him pitch after Brad Keller.
I don't like that. That's what I don't like.
Well, I mean, Brad Keller's been a really good pitcher for the Cubs. So
Brad Keller is going to be the answer to a trivia question one day. Who was the guy who started Cade Horton's first appearance? And they had to piggyback with him. No disrespect to Brad Keller. He was carving out a good niche at the end of that bullpen. Why are you taking him out of that?
Let's go into another area that's interesting, and that is since Imanaga got hurt last Sunday, the discussion between Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, and Craig Counsell, and the spirited conversation and intelligence that was used to come up with what's the best way to go about bringing up Cade Horton. And obviously we've gotten to this, but do you think that was the initial response to this? Do you think there was a different team? Let's start him against the Marlins. Let's start him against the White Sox. Let's use him as a let's use an opener instead. How much discussion do you think? And again, we'll get these answers hopefully eventually. But how much discussion do you think was done before they came to this result?
My sense is this might be an unfair characterization, but the Cubs have layers of front office personnel. They have so many people doing so many things that they want to get everything right to the exactness with which they operate now is probably as high as it ever has been in their organization. So they're not going to do anything from the gut. And the gut would say,
why not?
Because I don't think they're too corporate right now. It feels very much like let's meet, let's have a committee, we have a let's do the research, let's see what other teams have done. How would you handle this? They talk it to death. Like, hey, good, we do it for a living. We talk it to death, but that's our jobs. I think the Cubs, had they made a gut decision after Shota was shelved, if you will, that they would have brought Cade Horton up to start. Right. It's a no-brainer, Bruce, from the outside looking in. So they overthought this because they have all of the infrastructure that are doing their jobs to come up with this conclusion.
Here's the other variable. He hasn't pitched in a week. Okay, that's not good. Okay,
that's right. That's a really good point.
It's not good.
That's a good point.
He pitched last Sunday. Today, you know, he's pitching on the sixth day. You know, I mean, again, it's not what you want for your young pitcher who has had three really good starts in a row that got to six innings twice here. He's maxed out at 78 pitches. He's thrown 75, 78, 76 the last three starts. He's only walked three guys. He struck out 15. His whip is under one. Let's go. You know, let's go. And again, you know, how much you want him to sit there and think about when he's going to pitch next, where he's going to pitch, and, you know, does rust start to happen? Is he overamped because he's rested too far?
708, this is a non-story. If it gets you an extra inning today, it's worth it after Tyone only gave you four last night.
No.
Agree. Yeah.
No. Because Imanaga's not coming back probably for a month, okay? So what we're seeing here is a tremendous amount of pressure on the other pitchers in the rotation. And the reality that they're not Imanaga and they're not Steel, okay? They're good pitchers in their own right, but they're not ones and twos, okay? And they need an arm to be extended out and help them pitch. They're out there looking for trades. They're doing everything they can to supplement this situation. But the reality is it's not about Horton. It's about having who's their best option to throw and dominate, and he is their best option right now.
I should know this. We should have researched this, but I do wonder this. Has Cade Horton ever appeared in relief before? He's a starting pitcher.
Yes.
His routine is that of what starting pitchers typically do in getting ready for that first pitch and whatever. You're asking a young man.
Easily looked up in Baseball Reference.
Yeah,
so
but I wonder.
Our researcher in there will get to it.
I wonder about that decision because of all of the all of the layers of management that they have and decision makers. How was that addressed?
Here's how this has to come down. Regardless of whether Keller's going one inning or two innings, if Horton's coming in, he's got to throw a 30-pitch bullpen to come in. That's what starters do. Somewhere between 30, 35 pitches. He's not throwing 12 pitches and coming in, okay? That's not what's happening here. So it has to be choreographed to the part where he's going to come in. He starts warming up in the second inning. He's automatically coming in the third no matter what, okay? So that's probably what we're going to see at some point tonight. He'll automatically come in. He'll start warming up, giving himself 15 minutes before he's supposed to
come
in.
Clean inning. It's got to be a clean inning.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's going to be a clean five innings, right?
Yeah. Well, he's got to come in. Though he's got to come in to start an inning is what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's not going to come in with runners on base in the middle of a jam after.
No, this is like John Lester in the seventh game of the World Series. He was set to come in. Once he threw his 30 pitches, he was coming in hell or high water, no matter what.
Right. So, Bruce, you made the comparison, and I think it's an apt one, to Mark Pryor to Kerry Wood. The last time the Cubs drafted pitchers, started them, developed them, and both of them had enormous potential. How do you compare that potential and what your expectations are for Cade Horton in relation to those two guys?
I can tell you on the scouting reports from 2 years ago before he got hurt. And the scouting reports from scouts outside of the Cub organization was that he was going to be a number one and that he could definitely be a dominant pitcher in the National League, okay? That was before his injury last year, okay? This was, you know, what scouts that I trust told me this guy had potential to be a really good number one in Major League Baseball. There's not a lot of number ones in baseball, okay? How many do you think in 30 teams, do you think there's 40 number ones?
There could be, yeah, that's a high number. That's a really good question. I don't know if it's that high. I'm not sure there would be 40 guys. It depends on what your definition of ace is.
Probably not, you know. But the reality is that's who he was. I don't have any personal knowledge. I haven't seen him that much. We've talked to the kid a number of times. He's a really mature kid. He expects to be good. He's not going to be surprised by anything. I think the only thing that will make him a little nervous is the unknown. I mean, no matter how great a talent you are, until you're there competing against quote unquote the best, you don't know how you're going to respond.
He was born in 2001, so he is 23 years old, August of 2001.
PCA.
Well, he's older than PCA, isn't he?
Same age.
He's 3 months younger than Caleb Williams. He is a guy who is ready for this challenge, and he's a young man that has prepared for this moment. It wouldn't surprise me at all, regardless of the circumstances and when they insert him and when they don't. It's good conversation, but I think he's going to rise to the occasion. This is somebody who was, in his mind, built for this.
Right. You know, again, facing a really good lineup, which you'll do against almost every night, not just the Mets, I think that's the ultimate good challenge. I would feel really good about it. If I was him, I would feel good about going up against the best right away. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, here we go. This is what I trained for the last 12 years since I've been in Little League, okay? This is it. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to beat the best.
630. If anyone is overanalyzing this Horton thing, it's you two. Well, yeah. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. We're talking baseball.
This isn't easy listening music.
No. You want that? Go to, you want country music?
We're not telling you to go anywhere else. I'll sing for you.
No, we don't need you.
If you listen
singing
to the Vukovic commercial.
Yeah, and I don't need to listen to that.
I'll sing for you.
That's my cue to go get orange juice when the Vukovic commercial comes on.
We're not analyzing it, and it doesn't sound like a Cub fan, okay?
Right. It does. You know? No, probably not. All right. When we come back, time for our first break, but we're getting ready to talk to the Iowa Cubs pitching coach, Tony Cagoule, and he was the one who brought Cade Horton to Marty Peavy's office for, they were in Toledo, I believe. The Iowa Cubs were playing the Mud Hens, And that's where he broke the good news. We'll talk to him next. It's Tony Cagoule on Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Talking baseball on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
First round draft pick by the Cubs. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. 0-2 pitch. Cut on and miss. Strike three.
Now the break-even pitch. Horton home. Swing and a miss.
Second pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Horton winds and comes home. Swing and a miss. Strike three. For five strikeouts on the day for Horton.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock talking baseball. Thank you to the iCubs for that highlight from Cade Horton's last start when he struck out five, which brings us to our next guest, who joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning to Iowa Cubs pitching coach Anthony Cagoule. Welcome inside the clubhouse, Anthony.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
How about you take us to Toledo, where Cade Horton got the news, and my understanding is that you brought him into Marty Peavy's office, and you guys shared the good news with him. What was his reaction, and how fun was that?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, we got the call from our front office saying, hey, why don't you guys let Cade know that we're gonna bring him up. He's going to meet the team in New York. And so I had the privilege of trying to come up with a story to get him in to Marty's. It's actually in the hotel, we were told. So trying to figure out how to get somebody into a hotel room without, you know, spilling the beans. So I came up with the story that, hey, you're getting a AAA award. They're going to FaceTime Marty. Can you come up to his room? And, we sat him down, and, you know, he was obviously overcome with emotion and excited, but also, you know, talked about, hey, I've been prepping for this, and I'm ready for this. And so he was excited, but voiced how ready he feels like he is to do this.
Anthony, we can go over the pitches and what he throws and everything like that, you know, and we will with you. And, again, we appreciate your time today. But tell us a little bit about the makeup of Cade Horton and going to New York, pitching there in big games. Look, he's pitching big games his whole life since he was in Little League. What do you see about the makeup? What do you expect him to be feeling tonight?
Yeah, I think just like anybody making their major league debut, there's going to be nerves and adrenaline. But this is a football baseball guy. This is a guy that's, you know, been the best player in his class and competed at a really high level, like you said, for his entire life. I think, you know, Cade doesn't, you know, really get overcome by the moment. He's done a really good job. I think last year dealing with the injury, you know, gave him a lot of perspective, and he's talked a lot about, just being where his feet are right now. I heard him talk about that a lot yesterday in some of his interviews, and I think it can be cliche, but I think he's really bought into that and trying to do his best to, you know, not look ahead of what's to come, but really be where he's at and try to get better each and every day. And, he's done a really good job of that. His work ethic is off the charts. He's a great teammate. He's invested in the guys. And I think he'll be a welcome addition to that clubhouse.
Talk with Iowa pitching coach Anthony Cagoule here on The Score. And Anthony, when you talk about what Cade Horton needs to do now, we heard from Tommy Hodovy, the Cubs pitching coach, mentioned he needs to clean up his mechanics. He needs to execute his spin in the strike zone. What does that mean in your terms, in layman's terms? What do you look for tonight if you're watching the Cubs and you see what Cade Horton is going to be working on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a big thing that we, you know, started in spring training. We saw some things that, maybe some habits from last year where he was protecting himself a little bit to be able to get through some of those games when he was dealing with injuries. And so we've worked on that and addressed some of those things. And I think, you know, when you have such electric stuff as he has, you know, it's going to be a mid to upper 90s fastball and swing and miss breaking stuff. A lot of times, you know, when you get ahead in the count and you get to two strikes, you know, younger guys will tend to try to make pitches nastier than they need to be. And his stuff is plenty good enough where he can get swing and miss in the strike zone. And he can get guys to chase once he establishes, you know, that he's going to come after guys in the strike zone. And so I think, you know, those are the things that you're looking at. Not being afraid of contact, being aggressive and going after guys.
Anthony, well, we're not going to get you into a political discussion about him coming in as a reliever, but we will ask you your expertise about a starting pitcher coming in as a relief pitcher and how the preparation needs to take place. In other words, how many pitches does he need? And after getting heated up, does he have to come in right away?
Yeah, I think a normal starter routine obviously is going to throw before the game, and Cade's a guy that throws about, you know, 25 to 30 pitches to get ready in the bullpen. And I don't think this is much different than, you know, things that you'll see in the minor leagues where we may have a rehab outing where a major league will come down, and so one of our starters would get pushed to a piggyback type role. Obviously, this is happening at the big league level, so it is different. But, you know, guys get experience, and you set it up. You give them enough time to get ready, let him go through his normal bullpen routine, and, you know, get him in there in a clean inning, assuming that's what's on tap for him tonight. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're a minor leaguer going to the big leagues, your job is to help the team in any way you can. And if the staff feels like this is the best way to give the Cubs a chance to beat the Mets tonight, I think Cade's all on board, and we'll take on that challenge head on.
What will his pregame demeanor be like, and how difficult might it be for somebody who's had a lot of success, who understands how important he is to the organization, to harness those emotions or manage that anxiety?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something that we saw early on. I mean, Cade was in Major League spring training and had a couple outings in spring training with the big league team. And early on, you know, you could see him kind of pacing around Sloan Park in the Arizona complex. And, you know, so we've actually had those conversations with him of not trying to over-prepare and overthink these outings. Just go out and understand that, you know, he's one of the best pitchers in our organization and he has really good stuff. And he is prepared. He's done the work. And trusting that preparation is the next step of being able to have consistent success at the highest level.
Anthony, when I was talking to David about scouts from other organizations and their reports on Cade. Give us what you think the upside is for him and why his pitches play so well, arm action, the metrics on it. I mean, you know, give us a little breakdown of, you know, how you would project him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cade definitely has top of the rotation type stuff. You know, the velocity of his fastball is really, really good. You're going to see a profile that has, you know, some good vertical break with some cut at times. And he has really good fastball command. You know, he can throw the ball at the bottom of the zone. He can get the ball at the top of the zone. But the breaking balls are, you know, what really makes him, you know, dominant. He can throw a slider for strikes. You know, it's going to be a mid-80s offering with a lot of size. It's going to look like a sweeper at times. It's going to look like a harder slider at times. So those are really the two bread and butter pitches of his arsenal. And we've worked really hard, you know, over the last month or so, just to round out the arsenal and getting his curveball and his changeup in the zone, which he's done a nice job with. And then we've added a sinker here in the last, you know, three outings, where just giving him something that takes some pressure off the fastball and the slider that are pitches that are going to move to his glove side, and getting something that's an arm side offering. And he's taken to that very, very quickly. And so the stuff speaks for itself, I think. You know, obviously high velo, really good movement. And then just the things that people have talked about, Cade, is, you know, how competitive he is, how he embraces the challenge. And you see that in guys that are number one starters. Like he believes that he belongs, and he's going to go out there and not be overwhelmed, and he's going to be on attack mode from pitch one.
Before we let you go, we know you're just a pitching coach, but also Matt Shaw and Moises Ballesteros are two guys and prospects who have gotten a lot of attention and a lot of curiosity here in Chicago, wondering how they are doing. How are they doing?
Yeah, you know, Bally's been here with us now for probably close to a year. He was came up halfway through the season last year, and he's off to a really good start with the bat. Obviously, everybody knows the bat plays. Coming into this series, he was hitting close to 400, some power numbers, just a really advanced approach at the plate for a guy that's as young as he is. Very rarely do you see him take off-balance swings. He's just a really, really good hitter. And, you know, being the pitching coach, you know, I'm working with Bally every day in terms of pitcher-catcher relationship. And the thing that's impressive about Bally is that, you know, he really, really cares about the defensive side. And when you get a guy that's as good of a hitter as Moises is, it's easy to just, you know, live and die with your at-bats. But, you know, he's back there for his guys. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, with the 40-man guys we have and some of the major league rehab guys we have, how much they've just come out of their way to tell me, hey, Bally's doing a great job, and we're really impressed with, you know, how he's developing behind the plate. You know, it's going to take some more time for him as a catcher, but I think the bat is in a really good spot.
And Matt Shaw?
And in terms of Matt, mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt has come down, and he's been a professional. He's working on the things that, you know, maybe got exposed a little bit up at the big league level. I can tell you one thing, he's playing outstanding defense at third base. I've been really impressed with, you know, just his daily routine and how he's going about his business, knowing that defensive third base is something that he's really trying to take pride in. And his at-bats has been really good. I mean, it's easy to forget, you know, he definitely had an abbreviated spring training with the slight injury he had, didn't get in very many games. And, you know, I think it's been talked about, just, I'm not a hitting coach by any means, but, you know, he does have a little bit more of an unorthodox swing. And I think it does take at-bats for him to just get in the rhythm of facing high-end pitching. And so he's come down here in AAA and done a really nice job. Last night he had a really, really good game. I think when you start to see, like, opposite field extra base hits out of Maddie, I think his swing's in a really good spot. And over the last few days here in Toledo, you started to see him driving the ball the other way and had a triple down the right field line. And, you know, he's a worker, and he's a great kid. And so it's been good to have him down. I think he's trending in the right direction.
Anthony, the one thing that you hear the most from baseball people right now is being able to quantify the difference between AAA now and the big leagues, and a player's readiness at the AAA level, maybe compared to 2 years ago, 3 years ago. What are some of the conversations you've had about that, and what you hear in the organization about readiness and the difference between AAA and the major leagues right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think I get to lean on a guy that has a ton of experience in Marty Peavy. He's been in AAA for a long time. And I think, you know, just the things that have happened across professional baseball with, you know, eliminating the lower level teams and basically one level, I think guys are getting here a little bit quicker than they may have in the past, because they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, skipping a level of short season. And, you know, a lot of these guys are starting their careers in A or high A. And so there is some development that takes place that maybe they need a little bit extra seasoning or extra grooming here at this level. And I do think that, you know, the high end guy is still going to be able to go in and make a contribution at the big league level. But, you know, I think no matter what time it is in baseball, you know, when you're going to the highest level, there's going to be an adjustment period. And I think, you know, we try to lean on, you know, some of the data and some of the analytics to give us some prediction of, hey, the things that this guy is doing here, whether it's, you know, his zone rates or his swing and miss as a pitcher, how does that equate to other guys that are doing it in the big leagues? And we try to make the best guesses at that in certain cases. And I think, you know, you use your eyes too. I mean, I still think there's, you know, when guys are as dominant, you look at a guy like Cade and over 30 innings, just the things that he's done at this level, I think there's no question that he's put himself in position to go up there and pitch at a high level. And, you know, everybody reacts differently to that level. So you can think a guy's ready and some guys may struggle in the transition, but, you know, success here is all they can do is have success here and hope they're ready. I think that's the biggest thing.
Thanks for your time this morning, Anthony. I hope that your scouting report on Cade Horton comes true, and it's a big, strong outing for a big, strong right-hander.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Anthony Cagoule, the pitching coach for the Iowa Cubs, joining us here on Inside the
Very
Clubhouse.
Very thorough, and as you can hear, the analytics are a big part of
big
what
part
they
of it.
Do.
Yeah, big part of it, and one of that went into the decision to bring him in as a reliever rather than start him. And we did the research. He's never made a relief appearance in the minor leagues. He did make three at Oklahoma. So he's
probably in tournaments, probably closeout games.
Come save the day, Cade.
Yeah, Mark Burley like.
Big moment, Cade. He's a guy who has handled a lot his share of big games, but this will be the biggest of major league debut tonight against the Mets in New York. When we come back, should he stay or should he go? We'll play a game with the White Sox first baseman. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh,
Who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and David Haw on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
A flare to center field and it's going to drop. One run scores. The play coming in will be cut off. Andrew Vaughn drives in two, and the Sox take a 3-0 lead in the first.
That's such a big base hit. You get that daylight that we were talking about. And Andrew Vaughn, who really enjoys velocity, doesn't get a whole lot of this, but doesn't have to. They've roughed up a very good pitcher early in this one.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Thank you to CHSN for that highlight from last night. Andrew Vaughn at the plate. Andrew Vaughn homered against the Marlins.
Yes, he did.
Coming in hot, Bruce, but
he homered very soon after they announced Tim Elko was
cause effect. Yeah. You think?
No. Look, I watch Vaughn. There are some reports out there that he doesn't work hard. He works as hard as anybody on the White Sox. Very serious about his trade. Works hard on his defense, on his offense. The truth of the matter is he's hit a lot of balls hard this year. They haven't fallen in. I know people don't want to hear that or make an excuse for it, but he would be the first to tell you that he's not happy with the results, okay?
He shouldn't be, Bruce. Yeah. Four home runs, 15 runs batted in, 188 batting average. His OPS is 536.
Right. So that's why Tim Elko is up here. Is he going to DH tonight, which I guess he will? I don't think Vaughn's going to be on the bench while he plays first.
Vaughn's a plus defender, correct?
No.
At first, okay, not a plus defender. He's not a liability.
He works hard at his defense. He catches what's in his area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't want to overstate
his defense. Not a lot of range.
But Tim Elko's not known as a defender either,
no,
correct?
No, he's not.
He's a 26-year-old bat.
No. So I don't think he's being brought in here to replace Vaughn, okay? I think what's happening is he's being brought in because they average three runs a game, and it's not enough. They've been wasting an awful lot of good starting pitching so far this year. The White Sox pitching has been as good as probably three-quarters of the teams in baseball to begin the season. The starting pitching has been really good, okay?
That's a surprise that they have been that good.
And they're hopefully sustainable young pitchers that are just getting better at this point. Well, now, getting back to Vaughn, the segments stay or go. So the Red Sox have a situation. We'll get to that person.
Okay, Rafael Devers.
In our next segment.
Yes.
But they have a situation where they need a first baseman. Do you approach the Red Sox? Do the Red Sox approach you and say, you know what? We believe in Vaughn. We believe he's a good first baseman that'll fit in and wear out that left field wall at Fenway.
That would have to be a call that Chris Getz initiates. They're not calling the Sox.
They're calling a lot of people right now.
They're calling the White Sox about Andrew Vaughn?
How many people are willing to trade their first baseman at this point of the year?
Well, the Sox wouldn't necessarily just be willing to trade their first baseman. They would give him a limo to O'Hare. They would buy him a first-class seat, and they'd say, thank you for the memories. Bruce, this is a guy that's been largely disappointing. And I've been an Andrew Vaughn guy coming into this year. I respect his professionalism.
Doesn't have to be just Andrew Vaughn that goes in the trade, right?
So it'd be more than that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. So your point's well taken, you know. Maybe a little
over the top.
Over the top. Yeah, I mean,
Bruce, we're friends. You can tell me. I get a little carried away sometimes.
No,
I know that.
It's good because of your passion. You know, I mean, you want these guys to be better. You want the teams to be better. You know, you guys in the morning and on our station, hopefully, sometimes we're the voice of the fan, right?
I hope so. Sometimes.
So, I mean,
other times, voice of reason.
Sometimes here to be argued with.
Reasonable people would agree, though, that Andrew Vaughn has not hit up to his potential, and he's been the symbol of a lot of disappointment out there, and that's why if the Red Sox were willing to take him in a trade, I think you'd be willing to make a deal.
And think about the Green Monster in this powerful young first baseman, okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people need a new start. People in the organization, other scouts will tell you the way that they brought him along as an outfielder when he never was to begin his career.
Good point.
Really, really hurt him. He had a couple of leg injuries that really, really stunted him. Not making excuses for him, but the reality was he was playing the outfield when you had Abreu at first. There was no opening for him, and it didn't serve him well. It did not.
He did not, and so he may be a guy who would benefit from a change of scenery. We'll wait and see. The Red Sox might be a good trade partner. They also have a player who's not very happy there, and we'll talk about him next as we play a little chin music here on Inside the Clubhouse. By the way, the Sox win last night 6-2 over the Marlins. They are now 1-0 in the Pope Leo era, so that's not to be overlooked, and I don't know if it's a coincidence either, Bruce. 1-0 since Pope Leo.
I'm going to take your word for it.
All right. We come back. It is chin music here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Da Pope.